ghost of a Nelson Mandela coming to you from beyond the grave to bring you Nelson Mandela's Ghostly Podcastings. Myself, dammit. Hello, my friends. It's me, Nelson Mandela. Welcome to a very special edition of a Nelson Mandela's Ghostly Podcastings. You know, I was just sat here eating a fig with a wooden spoon. And I thought, my God, it's Halloween. So, I calmly finished eating my delicious fig, savoring every sweet morsel, and decided to make a spooktacular Halloween bonus episode. Did you know that the fruit of the fig is made up of hundreds of tiny flowers? Remarkable. Anyway, in what will be a well-earned break from the ongoing adventure, I wanted to take the time to tell you a ghost story. After all, what better way is there to spend Halloween than with a spooky ghost story? Although, listeners, be warned, for this story is so terrifying that you may fear for your very life. Perhaps even soil yourself. So, if you think yourself brave, if you have bowels of steel, then sit back and prepare yourself. Pull the covers up to your chin and grip your flashlight with your shaking, sweaty palm. Tonight's story is the tale of the Ghost of Green Point Lighthouse. Our story begins in a Cape Town, South Africa, in the autumn of 1901, the 22nd of September 1901 to be precise. The Green Point Lighthouse had just seen the appointment of its ninth senior lighthouse keeper, W.S. West, or Daddy West, as he was known by the local community. A notorious womanizer, Daddy West had always been popular amongst the local women and envied by the local men, even more so after securing the prestigious position he had now found himself in. Like his predecessors before him, he began his first day full of pride and optimism, having spent much of the last few weeks reflecting on the gravity of his achievement and the honor that had been bestowed upon him. The Green Point Lighthouse was a famed architectural marvel, being the first solid structure built on the African coast. Building had begun 77 years earlier, in 1821, and when it was finished in 1823, people marveled at its glory and spoke in hushed whispers of its total cost, as staggering £6,420, which in those days was a hell of a lot of money. Now in those days, the light from the lighthouse could be seen for up to 6 nautical miles, and on his first night in the job, as Daddy West stared out at the waves This smile has he breathed in the intoxicating smell of the flames, which in those days was fueled by a sperm whale oil. Suddenly, Daddy West heard the shrill cries of a woman drowning in the water. Without pausing to think, he tore himself from the lookout and bounded down the steps of the lighthouse, taking up to 7 steps with every bound. By the time he reached the water, the woman's cries were faint. He paused for a moment to focus on the faint sound of her scream, before diving into the water and swimming like a man possessed by the soul of a fish. Took hold of her and swam back to shore. Anniversary in 1906, their marriage had soured. They sat on the ornate mahogany dining table he had gifted to his wife in silence. The love she had once felt for her husband, she now realized was born out of gratitude for saving her life, misinterpreted as love. And although they had enjoyed moments of passion, which were as real as you or I, it quickly faded, leaving only resentment. And this is how it began. In the summer of 1906, on one particular Sunday morning, Daddy West began the day much the same as he did any other. He woke to find his wife absent from the bed beside him, although this was by no means a surprise. She hadn't shared his bed in as long as he could remember. He rose with the dawn, put on his pantaloons and his galoshes, and headed to the kitchens. He enjoyed a simple breakfast of fried shrimp and butterscotch before heading out on his boat. Butterscotch. So nice. They named it Thrice. Anyway, after a short and familiar journey on the water to his usual fishing spot, he was aghast to find it occupied by another boat. He thought. Irritated by the audacity of these interlopers for having stolen his prized spot, he took hold of the oars and rowed with determination further out to sea. After an hour of furious rowing, he stopped abruptly. "This will do," he thought to himself, and reached for the fishing tackle. Suddenly, something in the water smashed into his boat, almost knocking him into the water. "What the?" he exclaimed, before the boat was struck again. Daddy West was flung from the boat, and as he somersaulted through the air, he caught a glimpse of his assailant, a great white shark. He hit the water like a cannonball, swallowing half the ocean in his first gasp, when suddenly he felt the terrifying agony of teeth piercing his leg, tearing through it. The shark shook him like a rag doll, tearing his leg to pieces as it devoured the delicious savory meat of his manly thigh. For the briefest moment, he was paralyzed by fear, when suddenly, filled with a rush of purpose born of self-preservation, he reached for his shrimping knife and began viciously stabbing at the shark's eyes. The shark fell limp and floated down to the dark depths of the ocean below. West smiled and closed his eyes. But that was not the end of Daddy West. Oh no. He threw himself back onto his boat, which aside from a few scratches, was no worse for wear, thanks to the shark, and began to row back to shore. His arms ached, and yet he continued to row. His leg poured with blood, and yet he refused to look. His eyes fixed on the shore, but the shore was so very far away. By the time he got back to shore, he lay unconscious on the floor of his boat, semi-submerged in the blood water that filled the boat.
Oh my God! Send for the doctor at once!
Daddy West awoke in the hospital and looked down to find a bandaged stump where his right leg had once been, and his wife at the foot of the bed, tears streaming down her face.
Rosalind!
Stop!
He stared at her in shock, waiting for what would come next. He had known that their marriage was in trouble, but in the moment when he first saw her in the hospital room, he imagined her dutifully caring for him through his recovery. He had imagined her being relieved to find him alive, and he had imagined them falling in love all over again. But this is not that kind of story. He remained silent as she told him that the thought of his death did not make her as sad as it should, and that made her feel sad. And he stayed quiet when she finally said that she no longer loved him and could never love a man with only one leg. He lay there, his eyes staring straight into hers, and as she turned to leave, he finally spoke.
Goodbye, my darling.
For 10 years, he lived a life of solitude. He dismissed the other lighthouse keepers, keeping to himself, and his reputation shifted from the greatest lover in all of Cape Town to one which was much less flattering. Until the day came when he could take no more, when he could take no more of the loneliness, when he could take no more of the whispers or the looks of pity. He once more got into his boat and rowed out into the vast ocean to find the shark. He remained adrift for 3 days and 3 nights through the rain, the wind, and the waves, sometimes screaming for the shark to come and face him, others laying in a fetal position, weeping desperately, until finally, something hit his boat.
What took you so long?
Have you been expecting me?
Before him was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. In the middle of the ocean, completely naked. She had raven black hair, piercing green eyes, and lips that demanded his kiss.
What are you doing out here?
I could ask you the same question.
Where is your boat? Were you shipwrecked?
I'm fine. Are you?
There's nothing quite like someone asking you that question when you're really not fine. No.
Why not?
I came here...
to die.
Yes.
And you thought that you'd start a fight with a shark?
I'm here to finish it.
I see. So, sailor, why do you want to die?
It doesn't matter. I need to save you.
I don't need to be saved.
Please, let me help you.
I think I'm here to help you. Tell me why you want to die.
My wife left me.
Why?
A plethora of reasons, not least of which, this.
He pointed to a stump.
And why would she leave because of that?
The last thing she said to me was that she could never love a man with just one leg.
Then she is a fool that will die with a broken heart.
She was right to leave.
Now why would you think that?
How could anyone love me with just one leg?
Oh, my poor darling. Help me into the boat.
He hesitated for a moment before obliging her request.
Oh my God!
Tell me, do you think less of me now?
He lay in the boat, her ivory skin glistening, wet and smooth, her raven hair flowing down over her perfect breast, and her tail flowing across the boat.
You're a mermaid!
I am.
I didn't think you were real.
I'm as real as you. Now tell me, now that you know that I don't have any legs, do you find me repulsive?
I think you're the most beautiful woman I have ever seen.
Then kiss me.
And so he kissed her.
It was the most passionate kiss of his entire life. Hungry and desperate. And right there, in the boat, he made love to that mermaid.
Oh my God! You smell of fish!
The two lovers fell asleep in each other's arms. But when Daddy West awoke, the mermaid was gone.
Myself again. Hello, my friends. It's a me, Nelson Mandela.
I won't lie to you, my friends. I'm scared. So, I thought I'd take a break and ask you to help support the podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, or have access to an Apple device, then please rate and review Nelson Mandela's Ghostly Podcastings. If you love us, then please show your support by leaving us a 5-star rating and a review that will be sure to flatter us. And let me tell you, my friends, flattery will get you everywhere with Nelson. Also, head on over to our store to check out our latest new product, a handsome baseball t-shirt. As always, for all things Nelson, head on over to www.NelsonMandelasGhostlyPodcastings.com. That's www.NelsonMandelasGhostlyPodcastings.com. Once more for the hard of hearing, www.NelsonMandelasGhostlyPodcastings.com.
gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. Whoever you are, wherever you are, this is the ghost of Nelson Mandela telling you to brush your teeth 3 times a day for a minimum of 2 minutes for healthy and happy gums. Magpie, where the hell have you put my toothbrush? It started with a dream. Although, perhaps to call it a dream is to play fast and loose with the truth. For if 100 men were to experience the same, they would all call it for what it was, a nightmare. Daddy West woke, soaked in his own sweat, the duvet strewn about the bed, the curtains on the far side of his bedroom blew into the room with a gust of wind that threatened to tear them from the rail. The cold air rushed over his body, leaving goose pimples in its wake, and the smell of salt on the breeze tickled his nostrils and made his eyes wider. He lay there for a moment in a state of utter bewilderment. He awoke often in the same manner of late, haunted by strange dreams that had become increasingly dark. But for the moment, the realization had not yet set in, and his brain struggled to comprehend the shift in reality from the dream to the real. Slowly, a series of realizations set upon him. First, that he was awake. Second, that he was cold, and his nipples were hard as a consequence. Third, it was 2:42 a.m. And fourth, that he had been dreaming, but now he was awake. And then, without warning, a memory from his dream flashed into his brain, and he was at once disturbed. In his dream, he was staring down at his genitals, cupping them with his left hand. He was shaking, both in his dream and now in his bed. A thick stalk protruded from his right testicle, wet and red, like a dog's dick. It was sore and throbbed. Panic set in. What the hell is growing out of my testicle? He thought. Or what was in his dream? He lay there for a moment, dazed and confused, afraid to look. But after a moment, he sprang from his stupor, quickly swiveling on his back like a gymnast, throwing his legs to the side, and almost kicking his faithful dog Jasper in the face as he did. He tore off his pajamas and gently examined himself, looking and feeling for the stalk, hoping not to see its dark and twisting shadow in the moonlight. Nothing. He let out a sigh of relief. The nightmares had come every night since his encounter with the mermaid. It had been 1 year since that day, and every night, without fail, the nightmares would come. He pulled up his pajamas and lay back in his bed before closing his eyes and falling at last into a deep and dreamless sleep.
He woke in agony, a burning pain in his crotch. His eyes opened wide and he desperately fumbled with both hands. No, 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 he said, desperately wishing away his reality as he reached down into his underpants to find a deep mesh of stalks growing from his testicles in all angles. No! He leapt out of bed and tore off his clothes to examine the full extent of the horror. Oh, God, no! His genitals were covered. The stalks grew thick and wild from all over his testes, the base of his penis,
and halfway down his only leg, stopping just above the knee and stretching all the way up to his belly button. He continued to examine himself, stopping only to swipe away his dog's cold nose.
No, Jasper, get your nose out of there.
He did not know what was happening to him, but he knew why.
The mermaid,
he thought out loud. It had to be. How else could it be? He reasoned. He had always been a careful man in his youth. He knew to avoid the girls at the docks. Their bodies were as dirty as their souls. But mermaids, they were supposed to be magical creatures of the sea. They were supposed to give a man vitality, not venereal disease. Although, this was unlike anything he had ever seen. Dr. Pucklethrope was speechless.
My God, man, I've never seen anything like it,
he said, as he poked at them with his tobacco pipe, before jumping back in shock as they pulsed in response to his rough poking.
Ugh.
The stalks wiggled towards him like a dead tree reaching out to strangle him with its petrified branches.
Please, cover yourself up.
What is happening to me, Doctor?
I don't know.
Surely there is something you can do.
There is. Nurse, fetch me my instruments.
Right away, Doctor!
Mr. West, please remove your pantaloons and lay down. This may be uncomfortable.
A year had passed since the doctor attempted to cut into the thick stalks to remove them from Daddy West's testicles. After the failed surgery, the doctor had prescribed milk of the puppy and instructed him to call on the doctor in the morning. But Dr. Pucklethrope had left Cape Town and was never seen again. Yes, a year had passed. It was 28th of June in 1918, and the Great War would soon end. Daddy West stood at the lookout in his lighthouse, observing the HMS Cape Town leaving for England. He stood at the lookout, tears streaming down his cheeks. By now, the stalks had enveloped almost all of his body. There was seldom a patch of skin free from them.
What have I become?
The day passed by as he stood staring at the waves. And as the sun began to set in the west, it cast its warmth and orange glow upon his face for the last time. He closed his eyes and kicked the chair from beneath his feet. It wasn't long before his body was found, and how lucky it was that they did. Huh? A local police constable, concerned by the absence of light in the Green Point Lighthouse, went to investigate.
Hello? Hello? Mr. West? Hello? I say, hello?
Oh dear lord!
Mr. West had an open casket funeral, and everyone in attendance remarked at how handsome a man he was. That's right, my friends. The stalks that had covered his body, that had once more driven him to suicide, were gone. It wasn't long before a new lighthouse keeper took over from Mr. West, a man whose name has been lost to time, embraced the mantle of Senior Lighthouse Keeper, the most prestigious title in all of Cape Town, nay, in all of South Africa. On his first and last night at Greenpoint Lighthouse, he lit the torches and took up his post, looking out upon the ocean, when he felt a chill come over him. No sooner than after laying his eyes on the ghostly specter of a Mr. West, did the lighthouse keeper run from his post, never to be seen again. There were others, of course. A Mr. Holmes, who would stay in his post for 8 years, followed by a Mr. Ratcliffe, who would last 4. A Mr. Bass, who would last 11 years, and a Mr. Browning, who lasted all of 3 days. All of them that followed Daddy West into the lighthouse saw the same ghostly apparition, a man with one leg covered in stalks. For years, the people of Cape Town have told the stories about the ghost of Greenpoint Lighthouse. How they saw him, looking out at the ocean, always forlorn, and soon, those who were either foolish enough to get close enough to listen, or those who simply wanted to look brave, would say how they heard him whisper, "What have I done? I am a ghost." The funny thing is, my friends, for those who actually saw the ghost, or for those whom the ghost saw, after they escaped, after the terror had passed, after they were drawn to the water, after their encounter with the mermaid, they too would be plagued by thick, red and wet stalks protruding from their genitals! I'm scared stiff. That's better. Hello, my friends. It's a me, the ghost of a Nelson Mandela. Episode. Happy Halloween, my friends. Sweet dreams.